Blog Talk Radio.
Happiness, and of course, good spirits. As for us, we are doing just fine. Today's show, we're going to talk about the fact that nothing is free. Everything costs something. It costs your time, it costs your effort, it costs your energy, it costs your money, and I guess probably one of the most important ones there is it costs you time, because time in a lot of people's eyes is money. Time is something that we can't play with. Time is something that once you lose it, you've lost it forever. So in that particular mindset, time is very expensive and very costly. Why? Because, again, the only thing that you have is time, and you really don't have much of that. So today we're going to touch on a few different areas, and we're going to try to get everybody to get an idea of what we mean by the fact that nothing's free. You know, when we're young, we seem to think that we're going to live forever. We seem to think that time is something that doesn't really matter. If we're smart and we're young, we get up happy and we go to bed happy. However, we always seem to, as a people, as humans, we seem to always find some kind of way to make things a little bit more complicated or to not be as happy as we really should be. Now, first off, each and every one of us has been blessed. We've been blessed with the opportunity to actually be alive, no matter how long it is that we are alive for. And if we are healthy and in our right mind, so to speak, then we are extra blessed. We have even more to be thankful for. Why? Because there's so many people out there that don't have what we have. There's so many people out there that don't have the opportunities. There's so many people out there that don't have the pleasure, that don't drink clean or clear water, that aren't able to have food on their table, that can't feed themselves, that have to live in places that are ravaged with disease and sickness and all of these other things. And the prices that they have to pay are pretty high, because most of them, their mortality rate is very low. They live in an environment where life is considered to be cheap, even though most of us consider life to be precious. Why? Because of the fact that their lives can be bought and sold. You know, recently I did a show with the ladies from the Seroptimus organization, and that show was very, very interesting in the sense that they were talking about, you know, human trafficking. And they were talking about how, as an industry, it's a $32 billion industry. But as in the people that do it, the individuals that they're trafficking, their lives to them are worth nothing. So it's really interesting when you look at the mindset of people, how they look at things and how they position themselves. So the same people that wouldn't be sold are selling people. And, you know, it goes back to the slavery days of, you know, the slavery or the enslavement of the Jews, the enslavement of the Indians, the enslavements of African Americans. And it's really an amazing concept when you look throughout history and you see that this is something that has happened for centuries. And, you know, I always find it really amazing that when you look at the different ethnic groups, you know, and the slavery in which they've had to endure, you know, you look at the Holocaust Museum, and they talk about the 3 million Jews that were enslaved in concentration camps, but nobody really talks about the hundreds and millions of African Americans that were put into bondage, put into slavery, sold. Basically, in a lot of ways, lost their own rights. And when I say their own rights, I'm talking about they'll never really know their heritage. They'll never really know their real family names or their lineage. They can only go back so far, and then it gets really cloudy because most of them ended up taking on their slave owners' names. Now, please don't misunderstand me. There's a lot more history than that, and I'm not blaming Caucasian people for that travesty that happened. However, what I am saying is that the greed of the situation brought a lot of people that should have known better into that area and into that industry. And in order for them to save themselves, basically, it was one of those, well, it's them or me, or it's them or us type of dealies. But I guess that also comes back to the point that people seem to always want to be better than somebody. Everybody seems to always need someone to look down on, which is really a sad thing. But what it does, ladies and gentlemen, is all of the things that I'm talking about brings us back to that understanding that nothing is free. Your freedom to not be enslaved, there's a price. You know, be it that you consider law enforcement as a thing that's saving you, or the laws or the rights that, you know, you feel that you have because you live where you live. You know, again, just living in the United States, there's some people that don't have those rights. Do they have those rights as human beings? Yes. But do they have those rights as a practice? No. So it's always interesting to me when I look at people and I see them posturing and I see them positioning and I see them talking about their money or what they drive or what they have. And it's always amazing how many people are not thankful for the things that they do have, that aren't appreciative. All of the people that live in a scarcity mindset, and all of the people that are always looking at the angle that's in it for them and not to actually give of their heart, give of their soul, and give of their spirit, they're giving of the bottom line. And the bottom line is with the bottom line that they're going to eventually get paid back in some form or fashion. And I'm not talking about an inner spirit payback. I'm talking about usually a monetary means of some sort. So it's always really interesting to me when I look at people and I look at how they do things. I mean, like many of you, I'm part of different organizations and different groups. And even in that, I always find it interesting. As somebody said to me before, you know, in some clubs, a lot of people join the club because they just want to ride. Okay, that's fine. Well, then again, if all you want to do is ride, this is a particular motorcycle club, if all you want to do is ride, then that means you should ride and shut up. You don't have an opinion. You gave up that right. Your cost for joining the club does not give you an opinion. It gives you the ability to be able to ride. It doesn't give you the ability to have an opinion and or to share that opinion. Because let me go back. You always have a right to your opinion. However, if you're a person of true character, you know when you have a right to voice that opinion. You know when something is not a place or an avenue in which you should go down. So it's always really interesting to me. You know, I was reading a bunch of quotes, and one of the quotes was by Michelangelo. Michelangelo said, "I saw the angel in the marble and the carving and carved it until I set him free." And I think that's really interesting. He said, "I saw the angel in the marble and I carved until I set him free." Michelangelo understood that work was required, and his work that was required was for him to carve that piece of marble until the picture that he saw within was set free. But again, there was work involved. You know, I'm one of those people that really like quotes, and the reason that I like quotes is because these are people that were forward-thinking. These were people that, even though they may be dead today, they've left a legacy in their thoughts. They've left a little part of themselves. And by them leaving a little part of themselves and then sharing it so people like myself and others can read it and try to understand not just their thoughts, but also to understand our own and to also broaden our abilities to look at things in a different light or a different way. You know, there was another quote by Ronald Reagan, Now, don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat or a liberal or a Tea Party or whatever. But again, when you read these things and you do it with an open mind, you have to kind of give a little bit of yourself and also take in a little bit of them as you take that and find the meaning. And of course, each person's saying means something different to each person. But the one from Ronald Reagan said, man is not free unless government is limited. Now, what does that mean? You know, that's really deep, and to each person that reads it, it means a little bit of something different. Again, man is not free until government is limited. Now, for me, I take that to mean that if government is over you too much, then you're not free because now you fall under the dictatorial mindset of the government. But again, someone else may take that same saying and spin it around. So it's always really interesting to see and to hear how people understand things and how they see them. You know, another one was from Jim Morrison. Jim Morrison was the one I believe we're talking about was a comedian. And he said, expose yourself to you and your deepest fears. He said, after that, fear has no power. And the fear of freedom shrieks and disappears, and you are free. So that's another interesting thing. Now, for me, I take that to mean that a lot of us, believe it or not, use our fears as a shield. We use the fear that we have in our hearts to not do the things that we want to do, and we use it as an excuse instead of going ahead and powering through whatever it is that you need to power through, facing those fears to understand that that fear, false evidence appearing real, is just that, false evidence appearing real. And once you've faced that fear, once you've gone on and done the thing that you thought that you couldn't do or didn't believe that you can do or didn't have faith that you couldn't do, once you've done that, you've now beaten that fear. You've now taken yourself to the next level. You now have catapulted yourself to a higher level of understanding and to become a better and more powerful and more controlling person, in the sense of you being able to control your mind, your actions, and the things that you do. Now, you know, each time that I do the show, I hope that the information that we share and the talks that we have, first off, a lot of them, well, the ones that I'm just talking, are my opinion. I'm not saying that I'm always right. I'm not saying that I'm always wrong. What I am saying is that these are my points of view, and there are some people who see the logic in what I'm saying, and there's some people that don't. However, that's the other thing that makes the world we live in and the United States in which I live in a very powerful thing, because I believe that everybody's opinion has some merit. Even though that merit may not be as important to me as it may be to them, that doesn't make them wrong, nor does it make me wrong, because guess what? We've all experienced different things at different times. We've all had different mentors. We've all had different ways of being brought up. Many of us are different religions. It doesn't mean that your religion or my religion is wrong. What it means is that our points of view have been molded by the environments in which we've been around and the environments that we choose to continue to be around. So it's really interesting when you look at life as a whole and look at the vast number of opportunities that are presented to each and every one of us each and every day, and also the ones that we seem to continue to ignore. You know, there was another quote, and this quote was by Richard Batch. And Richard Batch said, if you love someone, set them free. If they come back, they're yours. If they don't, they never were. Now, that's a pretty old one, and a lot of people have heard it before. But, you know, that touches on the one about love and about you, again, allowing someone to get a better understanding of themselves. We're all in different stages of development, each and every one of us. And as we develop and as we grow, we have the opportunity to expand on not only our physical being, but also our mental being, also our spiritual being, as we try to develop and to become better people than we are. But ladies and gentlemen, none of us will ever become anything unless we stretch that muscle, unless we expand and grow and try to learn and open up our minds to different things. Again, Christopher Columbus's time, the world was flat. If you told somebody today that the world was flat and you insisted that that was the truth, they would consider you crazy. Many, many, many years ago, space travel was something that couldn't happen. Yet we've definitely done that and come back. Yet there's still parts of the ocean in which we live on, this planet, this blue marble, that have not been explored by man, that man has never seen. Now we've come a lot closer since we found actual submersibles that we could actually send to some of the deeper depths of the ocean. But it's really interesting that space can be created, can be made to be more habitable than the planet that we live on, yet we used to continue to try to understand more about space when we didn't understand the land that we lived in, which was quite interesting, especially when you think of human beings. Everybody would rather try to get someone to understand them than to understand themselves. Everybody would try to mold someone else in their own image, even they don't really have an image. Look at our youngsters that want to be particular movie stars and some of our adults. You know, again, those people that you want to be aren't even sure who they are. They've just happened on what would be considered to be a popular trend or a popular way of doing certain things, or because of, be it natural ability or actual effort, they've been able to succeed in areas where others haven't succeeded or succeed more quickly in their lives. Most of us don't even know where we're going. We have no idea how we're going to get there. And we definitely don't know where we came from. It's really interesting when you look at life as a whole and you try to look at it without being prejudicial. You know, it's like with me. Sometimes when I know that there's something that's really kind of rubbed me the wrong way, what I'll do is I'll take that information and I'll be kind and courteous and all of the above when I get it. But I'll end up giving it to someone else that doesn't have that jaded viewpoint. Because by them looking at it, not having the same emotional feeling or opinion that I would have because of the situation that I was involved in, there's somebody that can look at that particular thing more objectively. You know, and that comes back to a quote that was given by Nelson Mandela. And he said, for to be free is not merely to cast off one's chains, but to live in a way that respects and enhances the freedom of others. It's really deep. And we're talking about a man that was locked up wrongfully for about 20 plus years, you know, of his life. And then when he came out, yes, he ended up becoming the president of where he lived and or where he, you know, was born in Africa and all of that. But this man gave up a lot of things. You know, after he got out of prison, of course, you know, in truth, the relationship that he had with his wife of 20-something or 30-something years wasn't the same. You know, things had changed. Mindsets had changed, all of these other things. So when he came out to an entirely new world. He came out to an entirely new place. And even though a lot of people in that place accepted him, that had to be a real interesting transition for Mr. Mandela. So again, even though his ultimate goal was basically fulfilled or pretty much fulfilled, the price that he paid for that was years of his life and years of, you know, his understanding of the life and the world that he lived in. You know, there was another very famous person that if you're younger, you may not really know him, but Muhammad Ali, who was probably one of the greatest boxers of all time, you know, back when he was very sharp and very crisp and very witty, you know, he said, I know where I'm going, and I know the truth, and I don't have to be what you want me to be. I am free to be what I want. And that's really interesting. Now, Muhammad Ali, or as his actual birth name, Cassius Clay, again, like I said, was a famous boxer. And, again, very charismatic individual in his time. But, again, all of these quotes, all of these sayings, all of these things that are being left behind for all of us, there are also things that teach us that nothing is free. You know, there's always going to be people that want to control you. There's always going to be people that want to steer you the wrong way. You know, I was listening to a religious program not too long ago that was on television, and it was talking about the Bible, and it was talking about the Messiah. And when the Messiah comes this second time, it said that he will slay his foes with his words. It's really interesting. It's really interesting. Anyway, I'm not trying to get into a biblical thing. What I'm really trying to do is get people to understand that, again, everything requires work. And that work is sometimes respect of others, giving people their chance to shine, helping people to grow and develop, giving people the love that they need, understanding that you too and everybody else needs love, compassion, and needs to be wanted, sharing the most precious thing that you have on earth with everyone that you can. And that most precious thing is time. It's not just your money. What does money do for rich people? What money really does for rich people is it helps to help them to use their time more efficiently. Now, whether they choose to do so or not is a whole other thing. To be a millionaire but yet not spend or enjoy your millions is nothing. To be the richest person on earth and to feel so micromanaging that you can't allow others to do what you could pay them to do is not freedom. You know, I always think that one day I'll have more than enough money to do the things that I want to do. Well, I also believe that I'm smart enough to know that once I'm at that stage, or as I work towards that stage, I want to continuously surround myself with people that are far smarter than me, people that are far sharper than me, people that are good at what they do. And for the people that are better at what they do than I am at what they do, to allow them to, one, have the joy of doing what they love to do, even if they're doing it to my benefit, but allowing them to actually live in their bliss. Because it's like the law of abundance. Not all of us want the same things. And if you look at some of the richest people in the world, what they've done, if they surrounded themselves with people that were in some ways of a like mind, but also by stimulating their ability to do what they love to do, and in essence, they enjoyed themselves, their quality of life improved, their ability to provide for their families improved, and they, in turn, improved the lives of everybody that they came in contact with. One, because they were living their dream. Two, because they were doing something that truly meant something to them. It was something that gave them a sense of value other than the money that they got in return for it. It was something that hit them in the soul. You know, be it a person that wants to be, I don't know, a veterinarian, to someone that just wants to care for animals but doesn't want to be a veterinarian. Be it someone that loves the garden. Be it someone that loves to paint, to write, to speak, to run, to jump, you know, to help children, to help the needy, to feed the needy, all of these different things. We are all part of that never-ending wheel, that never-ending cycle. And the good that you do comes back to you. Again, most of us don't see it when it first happens, because I don't see it all the time when it first happens. But I have the faith and the belief that if I continue to do good things, that good things will come back to me. And sometimes the good things that come back to you, as my sister would say, are things that you don't necessarily see. You know, you decide to go for to get a test for some particular thing. Let's say you have to go get your prostate checked. You go get your prostate checked, and when you go to get your prostate checked, they end up finding out that you had polyps or something like that. So you, because you did what you needed to do, even though you may not want anybody exploring you, you went and got your particular prostate checked. When you did that, what ended up happening? They discovered polyps. What would have happened if those polyps had grown, or if those polyps were cancerous and had grown to the next level? Well, now, instead of you going for just a polyp removal or just a search, or a check, you could be now having to go to chemotherapy and all of these other things. You know, I'm actually, I have a gentleman that, you know, has a phenomenal spirit. He's just a phenomenal individual. His name is Reno Morales. And the man is just a gift. He truly is. Now, I'm not saying that Reno's perfect or Reno's an angel. But what I'm saying is that just the knowledge that he shared with me has been priceless. And now he's got stage 4 cancer, and it's not really looking very good right now. And I really don't want to lose him, and it really hurts me to even talk about this because he's that type of a person. He's a person that deserves the world and more. Yet he isn't a person that's gotten the world and more. He's not a person that's been blessed, in my viewpoint, in the sense of him getting his just due. However, I'm also not him. And I'm also thankful that I can have the opportunity to be thankful for the fact that he's here. So I'm glad that any time that he was here, he got to spend with me, and we got to know each other, and I got to be considered part of the family and all of that stuff. But what I'm saying is that here's a person that is truly gifted. But he's truly gifted, and he applied his gifts. He developed his gifts. He worked towards his gifts. The respect that he has wasn't something he got free. It was something that he earned from everybody that he touched by being himself, by doing the things necessary to raise him to that level, not only in my eyes, but for every other person that meets him. And that thing that he did, that emotion, that feeling, that drive that he put out there is what's making someone like me say his name today. So he left a legacy. He hasn't left us yet, but he's leaving a legacy, you know, and most of us will not leave a legacy. The only thing that we'll leave is debt. The only thing that we'll leave is such and such who, because there is no one to continue to help us to move to the next level, even after we've passed. You know, I don't want to die. However, I also understand that it is part of the cycle. It is necessary. If a society cannot help the many who are poor, it can't save the few who are rich. That was by John F. Kennedy. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to do what we can to help each other, because guess what? As we help each other, we develop. Not everybody wants to drive, or not everybody wants to own a Bentley. Not everybody wants to live in a huge house. Not everybody wants to work in an office. Not everybody wants to farm. Not everybody wants to deal with animals. Not everybody wants to be a scientist. Not everybody wants to be a dishwasher. Not everybody wants to be a garbage man. All right? Not everybody wants to be a preacher or a minister or a rabbi or a karate man or a jiu-jitsu man or a kung fu man or woman. But what they want is to be respected, cared for, and loved. So we all need to emancipate ourselves from the mental slavery. And none of us will ever be free until we free our minds. And by freeing our minds, that's probably the most crucial thing that we can do to actually have a beautiful life. Freeing our minds and understanding that it's not about you. It's about every individual that you are blessed with the opportunity to help. It's about every person that you can do something for that you don't necessarily have to, but because it's the right thing to do. It's understanding that life is a beautiful thing and everybody should be given the opportunity to enjoy it, even if that life is just for a day. But Einstein said, our task must be to free ourselves by widening our circle of compassion, to embrace all living creatures, and the whole of nature is beautiful. And it is beautiful. And that was by Albert Einstein. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you've enjoyed the show today. This is Zurian of the Zurian Show. And again, if you like our show, please share it with others. Friend us up in the top. You can follow us and you'll hear about more shows that come up as they come up. And again, remember, if you're not listening, and all we're doing is talking to ourselves. Please continue to share the show with everyone, and everybody have a great day and a great life. Live your life to the fullest. Don't, and understand that greatness is within you all. and it's within us all. Take care, be well.